Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
You've got something about leaky vaccines.
Yeah, this is actually something that I've wanted to talk about for a good long time now.
Okay.
And of course, I took a month off. And of course, you know, we get talking about other things because this we always talk about what this is all about. We have suspicions. You know, the biggest one of being, of course, there are a lot of people making money off of this event,
sure.
this pandemic.
Everybody's selling masks. They're making big money.
Oh, you better believe it.
Vaccine providers.
Now they got a brand spanking new mask. I don't know if you've seen these new, what are they, N95s?
Those aren't new, right? Those are
well, I mean, but the meme is out there that the new mask to wear is these new pointed N95 masks. Otherwise, you didn't get the memo.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They finally, the leftists in the mainstream have been admitting that the cloth masks just don't work. So
yeah,
now
yeah,
you got to
yeah.
spend more money to buy the
right.
fancier
and
masks.
They're just one step closer to damn plague doctor masks.
Yeah.
Give it another 6 months, and that'll be the new virtue-signaled mask.
Well, actually, I've had a story in relation to that for the last couple of weeks. The headline was, out of Los Angeles, students are now required to wear non-cloth face masks as of a week ago.
I've been raising chickens for almost 9 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I've had all kinds of. I consider myself to be pretty experienced keeping them alive. As an urban farmer.
Got it.
One thing that I have dealt with, of course, wildlife. You know, I've had skunk attacks.
Right.
I had a coyote in there one time. By the way, I said skunks. You know, people out there are like, yeah, skunks don't eat chickens. Oh yeah, they do. I've lost more chickens to skunks than I have
wow.
raccoon, coyote, and a bear attack.
You got a game camera up, right? That's how you know.
Oh, you can. I was out there and he was still at it.
Oh wow, you caught him in the act.
Caught him in the act both times.
Damn.
So caught him in the act. 22 caliber to the back of the head, and he's buried. Okay. Other than wildlife attacks, the other situation I've had to deal with is disease.
Mm-hmm, sure.
You know, the best way to prevent that is to keep a clean coop, clean food, clean water,
mm-hmm.
and to keep your old nasty sick chickens away, and you know, to actually take them out of the herd, out of the flock, and cull them.
Mehdi, you had called us late last week on, I think, Thursday or Friday, saying you were on your way up to Ottawa for the weekend. You were going to check out the Parliament area in Ottawa and see exactly what the scene was. And we've seen a ton of video. We've seen a lot of posts online. And it looks like it's been an amazing event. Very, very positive. I have not yet heard of a single arrest.
Nope.
Actually happening.
The cops aren't beating anybody up yet. They're not spraying them down with water hoses or setting dogs on them.
Which is amazing. But Mehdi, what was your experience this weekend? How'd it go?
Yeah, it was good. Hi, Ian. Hi, Conan.
Hey.
So I was, Friday I was going up there. It officially started the protest on Saturday noon. But we went there early. I went there earlier than that. I went to the Parliament at 9:30, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I had two signs. One was End Wars, and the other was Class Unity. Looking at everyone there, millions of Canadian flags. There were families there as well with the kids because they don't want to start getting the kids mandatory vaccinated as well. Right? Like right now, you know, the adults are all kind of mandatory vaccinated, but there's a fear that it's going to be with your children too. And they're, you know, kind of not liking that for sure. Phase 3 trials aren't done yet.
Another critique that because we were reading some of the critiques of, people that love the government, they were saying, oh, well, there's been vandalism, there's people defecating and urinating in snowbanks. You were there for several hours or a few hours, it sounded like, when you had to, when you had to urinate, where did you go?
So I didn't end up having to pee, but I didn't see anybody peeing on anything,
mm-hmm.
like, or defecating anywhere,
okay.
to be honest. So I mean, I never saw that, but I was only there for maybe like 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to, I mean, I didn't have
you
to
held
do
it.
Anything like
okay.
that. Yeah. Then there were signs, and there actually were signs where the person said like, Stay peaceful, call out, because I took pictures, I'm just looking at my phone. Stay peaceful, call out RCMP agitators. Mm. RCMP is the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. I think they're a federal police.
That's like the FBI, right? Like they're the equivalent of the FBI
for
Canada? Yeah.
Yeah, they. I think so, yeah. I mean, they also do, you know, they walk around with horses and stuff. Like they're a prettier face, right? They're not like FBI, right?
Yeah.
But they're, yeah, RCMP, federal police people. And so,
but no violence. You didn't see any arrests, right? There was no arrests.
No, not at all.
Yeah, it sounds
just happy, smiling, walking around.
Occupy is back, except
Absolutely.
It's not the hard left. Of course, the joke this time is the Marxists are always about the people.
Workers unite.
Right, the workers coming together.
And now, why are they upset about this?
Exactly, they're hypocrites.
These are the types of jobs that the couch, the armchair sitters, the warriors, the keyboard warriors.
Yeah.
This is something they would never do. Trucking sucks.
Yeah, well, and everybody depends on these guys.
Uh-huh.
These are arguably the most important job anywhere.
It's the lifeline.
Yeah, literally.
I mean, you have your people making things, but usually that's China.
Mm-hmm.
And you have your lifeline, your truckers who are delivering it to these keyboard warriors. Where do you think your milk comes from, dude?
Yeah.
Where do you think your chicken comes from?
Where did you think the keyboard came from?
And they're like, some of these people don't really know.
Nah.
They're like, well, it comes from the store.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yes, actually, I am. Yes, actually, I am.
I believe you, actually. I just saw a video, I think it was like a TikTok, where some girl, I presume she's serious about this, says that she just learned that hair grows from her scalp instead of at the ends of her hair. And she's, probably a 30-year-old woman.
The scientists now believe that this vaccine has helped this chicken virus become uniquely virulent. Note, it only harms fowl, so don't worry about it. I even eat these guys when they die.
All right, so what you were saying before was that this disease will kill a chicken within days.
An unvaccinated chicken and some vaccinated chickens as well, by the way.
But they're saying that because the vaccinated chickens don't die from it, that's actually spreading it further than it would otherwise.
Their whole lives, they spread it.
Wow.
All it takes is that day one back of the neck syringe injection, and they are spreaders for the rest of their lives. And any unvaccinated chickens that are brought into the scene,
they're going to die.
It's a very good chance they're going to take it.
Hmm.
So this was a study that was published. A scientific study that was done in 2015. So this is, and I might actually go to this and talk about this in a second. But anyways, this is the first time that this virus boosting phenomenon known as the imperfect vaccine hypothesis has been observed experimentally. The reason that this is a problem for Merrick's disease is because the vaccine is leaky. A leaky vaccine is one that keeps a microbe from doing serious harm to its host, but does not stop the disease from replicating and spreading to another individual.
I wrote an article today, which I sometimes do on the Intercoin forum, that was talking about NFTs. And I was replying to a bunch of articles that talk about NFTs. For those who don't know, they're non-fungible tokens.
Thank you. Yep.
Yep. If you have not been living under a rock or a pet rock, as it were, I guess, in this case, you would probably know that people are buying these JPEGs or these things that are hosted somewhere, and they claim exclusive ownership over it. So I don't want to really get into the utility conversation of, like, what's the point of buying a publicly accessible tweet when I can just read the tweet anytime I want. But my interest is that many of these things are hosted on centralized sites.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that interesting because cryptocurrency is supposed to be decentralized, and yet, of course, the blockchain doesn't have enough storage to store all that kind of stuff. So people could store on IPFS and a bunch of other emerging networks like ARWeave, MadeSafe, and others. But most people just store on hosting. And here's my point. I started to look at the economics of it. It's very interesting. The person who is hosting and producing the content is the one who pays for storage. They pay all the upfront costs.
I mean, as far as NFTs are concerned, it sounds to me like you're not in favor of the whole concept. Is that a fair extraction or extrapolation?
No, not necessarily. I think that NFTs with utility are good.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
give me an example of that. Yeah.
domain names were the original NFTs. You
okay.
could buy a domain name and point it to something, and that you owned a portion of that namespace, you know, .com
right.
or whatever. Other things include tickets to concerts, subscriptions that even if they expire, they're worth something. So that kind of stuff I like. The NFTs that don't have a utility component, where you can just look at a tweet, well, I could have looked at it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not, I'm not here to judge because I'm not, you know, an art connoisseur. Obviously, you know, why would I own the real Mona Lisa when I can own a picture in a book? I can just look at it. So I don't know what the point is either. But I will say that what I'm saying is broader. I'm just saying that the whole idea of venture capitalists or people up front putting up the money and then selling it to the public in an IPO later, all of these groups, whether it's Wall Street or the investors, they force the company to keep its source closed because they need to retain the power
mm-hmm.
over their users to extract rents forever. Because if you bought the shares at $200, you don't want the shares to go down because the company decided to be nice and open source all of their software.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
They found that guy who ran over and killed that 7-year-old boy during Christmas time. So with that off-road vehicle. So
uh-huh.
that he was hiding out in Mexico.
Hmm.
So, yeah, so they were communicating with him the whole time, and they were he turned himself in.
Well, if they were communicating with him, I don't think you could really call that hiding out.
I don't know what the rules are. They can't – can they go in if the U.S. can't go in and get him out?
No, but generally what they'll do is they will send a request to the Mexican law enforcement, and they'll tell the Mexican law enforcement what they want them to do, and the Mexican law enforcement will go and do that. And they always, you know, scratch each other's backs when it comes to that. So it's very hard to actually get away from the reach of the U.S. federal government. They can pretty much get you anywhere with very few exceptions, maybe with the exception of Russia or a few other handful, you know, Iran, Cuba.
Yeah, well, the family was on the news, and they're going to move back to the East Coast after this. So mm-hmm. after what happened, they're just terrified of even going outside. And, you know, I guess I did not know they were from another state. No wonder this happened. I mean, if they were from here, they'd probably just think it's a perfectly fine.
By the way, you have two types of people in this world, people who love roundabouts and people who absolutely hate them.
There's also people who don't understand them.
Well, that's the people who hate them. That's and you can break down the haters into two categories, the people who are afraid to use them because mm-hmm. they are afraid of hitting other people.
Right.
And you have the authority, the status types who want everything to be orderly, and they're mostly afraid of people, of the idiots who don't know how to use a roundabout from hitting them.
Mm.
And then you have me, and I've seen this. I've seen it in action. I've seen. We have a major intersection here in Keene, and I've been here almost 10 years now. I've seen it down like 2 or 3 times the whole time. It's at, you know, dead, and this is a major intersection, and I have seen hundreds of commuters traverse this dangerous intersection with absolutely no light. And it is magical. It is just watching the flow, watching everyone orderly line up and then actually pull out and traverse this dangerous intersection mm-hmm. with no one standing there telling them how to do it. It's just like...
So you like the... You're a supporter roundabout.
I'm a supporter of this chaotic order.
Mm-hmm.
And all you had... Speaking of statistics, Sarah, when you look at... fatalities and accidents in general on roundabouts versus
intersections
with lights and or even someone dictating where you should, when you should go and come, mm-hmm. come and go. It's the insurance companies love them.
The perfect vaccine is what we're used to when we were kids, you know, in the 80s or 90s or, you know, yep. before that. You get the measles, you get the mumps, you get the rubella, you get the maybe chicken pox or whatever.
And that's it.
And
you're done.
Set.
And not only that, not only are you good to go, but you don't spread it.
Right. You're not coming back for a booster or anything like that. You're just, you don't get that thing in the future. That's what's considered a perfect vaccine. But you've been telling us about, in the world of raising chickens, which you've done for close to a decade now, there's this Merrick's disease that is devastating to a
Absolutely.
Chicken.
Absolutely. You get it, and you're pretty, your girls are pretty much dead, goners.
The whole coop.
And not only that, but it will take out, yeah, it'll take a whole brood.
So they've been pimping a vaccine for that for some time.
Since the 70s.
And
so this is new technology. This is new study. And so this study was done 5 years ago, 7 years ago now. And the guy who ran this, some guy named Reed, was just surprised. He's like, oh my God, this is, what have we done?
And he discovered that when a bird, a chicken, has this vaccine for the Merrick's disease, they're still able to get it and still able to spread it, but they don't die from it. They don't get even sick. In some cases, they do.
Some mm-hmm. still die from it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And usually it's the weaker. It's the really young chicks and or the older, which in nature, this is how viruses usually operate. They mm-hmm. usually take out the weakest link. I introduced 4-week-olds to the flock, and every damn one of them, one dozen of them, they were dead within the week
from this Merrick's disease.
Oh yeah, you can like I said, you can tell. It is so obvious. I haven't done any autopsies.
Now how do they catch this thing if you're
it's in the dander, it's floating around,
so it just comes from somewhere else.
It came from one of the original birds that I introduced mm-hmm. onto my property. It could have been a bird from 8 years ago
mm.
and it had it. And it spread it.
Oh, my God.
It spread it to the other birds. Didn't kill them. They're still alive. They all have it. This is just like cold sores, mm-hmm. the herpes a syndrome that people get. You can't ever get rid of it. You have it forever. And by the way, most people have it.
Hmm.
But it doesn't kill you. This is also a herpes virus, but it doesn't grow on their feet or on their beaks or on their skin. It mm-hmm. actually develops on their...
Kills their brain.
On their organs mm-hmm. and their brain, mm-hmm. and it just slowly... Or not slowly, it kills them very quickly.
Wow.
And my experiment, of course, is can I alleviate the hot strain by just having my own girls, my own birds on the property? Is it going to be an easier time for me from here on out? Because all the birds on the property are my birds. I raised them.
Right.
They're from their parents. Their parents are there, and the kids are there. So I mean, it's nice, you know. Nice little coop going on there. Maybe it's not the specific vaccine that we're dealing with right now, but could it be something for malaria, or could it be an Ebola vaccine or some other vaccine that leaks that has just recently been developed
mm-hmm.
and is being inducted on the populations now? Could in 50 years, could it turn into something that is not manageable? And this is how I open this whole topic. Is this exactly what the vaccine industry wants? Because mm-hmm. now they're making money every year, every 6 months. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't get it, that's it. You've got to get it, or you're going to succumb to this sickness, to this illness. And something that has always bothered me, a question that arose early on in this. We haven't been vaccinated.
No, nope.
We've been sick, but we've been healthy ever since day one.
Regarding COVID, I was vaccinated for the usuals in the 1980s.
We talk about stories. We talk about the VAERS, the reporting system, mm-hmm. all of the adverse reporting system where people are being vaccinated and they're succumbing to heart conditions
or
brain fog and all manner of problems. From the vaccine.
Yeah. Well, and we don't know for sure.
We don't know, but I mean, it's the VAERS has never been used like it is
right.
currently.
I've been thinking about that $10 million for the Freedom Convoy 2020 hashtag.
Yeah.
And how you know that the money's getting to the truckers and everything. And
that was my question.
GoFund, yeah. And also about GoFundMe's long history of financial censorship. So what advice I want to give the truckers is go onto social media, Facebook, Twitter, especially Twitter, and post a little story that proves you're you and kind of timestamp it, and post hashtag crypto convoy 2020 with your crypto address along with your freedom convoy 2022 tag. And that way people can find you and donate to you directly. And we know we're donating to a real person because you can turn the camera around and show the convoy and say, today is Saturday, blah, 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 blah. And we know the money's getting right to where it needs to go. And then we're also helping spread the gospel about getting out of this fiat nightmare.
That's a great suggestion. Now, of course, how do you prevent somebody from snagging the video and making a copycat account and putting it up on their, you know, fake account?
Well, it's a lot more trustworthy than just a $10 million GoFundMe black hole.
You look at some of these millennial type activists. If they're not leaving all of their signs, all of their used, spent food and right. Packaging and whatnot, if they're not doing that, they're actually burning things down. They're actually throwing bricks through windows. This is the night and day type of activism, yeah. And it's just so mind-boggling that the left is coming out, the mainstream media is coming out in force against these people, labeling them anti-government, racist,
yeah.
Nazis.
They're doing everything they can.
Violent. The violence in the street. And it's like...
Not one single arrest.
The cops... I wouldn't be surprised if there was actually cops amongst these guys.
There are police
Not agents, but actually activist cops who were... there was one lady who was
out
talking...
Out of their uniform, you mean?
Yes, exactly.
On their own time.
And are even standing up in uniform and say, hey, look... you guys are good to go. I'm all about it. I like what you're doing. Keep it up.
Yeah.
And there was one Canadian who actually a cop who actually came out and spoke in favor of this. So these are workers. These are people who clean up after themselves.
Right.
And they try to solve these problems nonviolently.
That's right. This is their solution.
This is where it's at, and it typically, universally, historically, doesn't really work, except maybe in election years, and it works really, really slow, and it's just little tidbits. It's just little scraps off the table.
Well, here's the story from the West Australian at perthnow.com.au. Frontline staff policing Australia's broadest proof of vaccination laws will be backed by tough new penalties that could see anyone who, quote, threatens, intimidates, or is even just offensive to that person when asked for proof of vaccination, jailed or fined. So I could see why, threats are unacceptable. But even if you just simply offend the person who's asking you for the vaccine paperwork, the new rules came into effect Monday, bar anyone who is not double-dose vaccinated against COVID-19 from a raft of hospitality and entertainment venues, gyms, hospitals, schools, and bottle shops. And I guess that's their term for a bar.
Bottle shops. That's odd.
The new rules apply to people aged over 16 who do not have a medical exemption. Businesses will be expected to police the new rules themselves, leading to fears of conflict between staff and unvaccinated customers that are refused entry or service.
Yeah, I like it when they run it this way, because a lot of these establishments, the big monster ones, might enforce it. They might actually hire someone to stand at the door and to walk around making sure that people have their papers, please.
I saw a police officer, a high-ranking officer.
In the bottle shop?
No, saw him in the grocery store. And I'm not going to say who it was because I want to protect him because the media has been rabid against Jason Short, who's a police lieutenant, who came out and actually spoke out against the mandate.
He said he's not going to enforce it. I'm just plain not going to enforce this nonsense.
And so I spoke with someone who's even higher ranking than him. Now, that narrows it down because there are only like three people who are higher ranking than him. And the officer I spoke with, I said, hey, what do you think about what happened to old Jason Short? And he didn't even really know what that situation was about.
It was in the paper.
I know. It just goes to show there's not really any meaningful,
or he just doesn't even care,
awareness, right? Like that, yeah, it doesn't matter to him really. And so I gave him a little briefing on what had happened, And he said, there's no one in the Keene police that wants to enforce this.
It's ridiculous. And that's why I'm happy that this the Australia is handling it basically the same way.
Their cops are going around cracking down on people.
But they're actually saying in this article that they're leaving it up to the stores, the establishments, to take care of
being threatened by the police,
because they know if they have to send a police to every single violation, they don't have the numbers.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.